Dr. Nick and Hot Aussie Chick Show is brought to you by the LasVegasAdvisor.com, CasinoMeister.com, and ThePog.com. Three great sites for all your casino gaming information needs.
If you're receiving this transmission, then this operation is a success. Dr. Nick and the Hot Aussie Chick are in the house and ready to dissect blackjack, poker, and everything in between.
But if Dr. Nick and the Hot Aussie Chick, if Dr. Nick is again there.
I am here, Miss Hot Aussie
you
Chick.
You are.
Yes.
I am hot. Guess what? It's a great day. The sun is shining.
In Australia. Well, yeah, it's springtime in Australia, right?
How good is that? No, really, how good is that?
Well,
I have finally, I don't know, it was freezing cold and then suddenly I'm in a singlet top. Do you have those there?
They have them there. I don't particularly wear them. If I did, I'd probably be living a whole different lifestyle.
Men wear singlet tops here. I suppose that would be a different lifestyle. You'd be in Australia. What's kicking? What's happening over there?
Let's see. What's happening in Australia? I mean, in the United States, rather.
Yeah.
In the United States, rather. Well,
yes,
it's pretty
yes.
much hot all year round in Las Vegas, so there's not really any change.
I'm not talking about the weather. Talking about, like, you know, what's happening? Anything new?
Well,
anything exciting? What's happening in your life?
We are about 5-6 weeks away, or actually about 4 or 5 weeks away from the World Gaming Conference, known as G2E. And
right.
for the last,
yeah,
yeah for the last well. 6-7 years, I have been attending as part of the media until this year, which I wanted to go, but I turned in my application for media credentials and they were denied.
You're banned again.
When I asked them why, they said, and a gentleman by the name.
Hold on. We can't be giving out much information here, can we? I say we because, like, you know, we're talking. I don't want to get involved in crazy stuff. Isn't there like?
Well,
anyway.
I can just tell you what they told me. What they said.
Right, okay.
What they said it was for inappropriate behavior over the last 2 years.
You rebel.
Now, or they said disruptive and inappropriate behaviors, which one guy said, and another person said they received complaints from exhibitors, journalists. Panelists and staffers about me. Now I've never heard anything about this before, and the only thing that I can think of is, well, there's two things. One, as everybody knows, or those people who know, that I recently did an interview on Gambling with the Edge with Richard Munchkin and Bob Dancer, and that episode we talked about my arrest last year,
right?
And the subsequent the people at the gaming conference calling me. Well, I was in a seminar called Current Fraud, Cheats, and Scams, and I was sitting there with Richard Munchkin, and we were listening to the seminar, and all of a sudden a picture of me popped up on about a 10 by 10 foot screen. So I would naturally put my head down and kind of wrote it out. And we are filing litigation against several people associated with the G2E, including the G2E people who put it on, and just a whole slew of people associated with it. So
I believe
that they are using this quote unquote disruptive behavior comment as cover. Now, one of the leading gaming authorities when it comes to gaming law. I. Nelson Rose, who wrote a wonderful book with Bob Loeb called Gambling and the Law.
Right.
And he was sitting next to me during one of these conferences. And I spoke to Nelson Rose today, who we will likely have on the show soon. And he
Oh, good. I like
said,
having lawyers on.
yes,
I
he
like having
said,
Bob Nassisi on.
yes, he said that he didn't see anything, or he didn't recall anything that I would have been banned for. Now, granted, my questions tend to be aggressive, because in my opinion, the gaming industry, a lot of people who are in this field that don't work for the major corporations believe that the gaming industry is probably one of the worst managed industries in all of business. And subsequently, their revenues, decline and the competition is growing, and they're
Well, you
squeeze
talk
they're
about that
yes.
kind of stuff every week.
Yeah, they're squeezing the players more and more and more and trying to get more and more money out of them. And they give me responses to questions, and I debunk them. And some people say that I made them look very
Well, they're not the
foolish.
only ones you debunk.
Well,
Let's
yeah.
be realistic. You debunk everyone. That's your personality.
Well, I'm a reasonably intelligent person. I've got a good head on my shoulders, and I like
I
to
would
use it.
disagree.
So I go after these people with their nonsensical arguments, thinking that they're so great. And last year, one I made a good comment about value-based gaming and high variance gaming, and how basically they're increasing. And we talked about this last week, how the ever increasing costs associated with a trip to Las Vegas is getting more and more and more, as the casinos are nickel and diming them, to more, and then the games aren't paying as much, and it's just it's
We were talking about the casino exploit site, you're operating and how it mentions all of this and how to get money for what is it, dollar value? What is it? Blah,
Yeah,
blah. Yeah, anyway.
value for your thing. And one instance that I remember vividly from last year, I got into it with a very heated discussion with this guy from, I don't know, it was MGM, or I think it was from MGM, or it was one of the big properties. And they said, well, they like to think of the whole gaming experience as an entertainment. To which I responded, "Oh, so apparently paying for parking is now entertainment, huh? Is that $18 a day? Is that worth it?" And the guy just—I mean—he obviously didn't like the response, and I, shut a lot of people up, and just did their nonsense, for
So
whatever.
they, are you sure you're not getting drunk and, forgetting what you're up
Oh,
to?
well, I'm very sure I wasn't getting drunk, because I very rarely do I drink.
Just
So.
checking.
And I was sitting next to people, and all other writers were saying, yeah, you made valid points. So I was like, okay. The guy from the BJ Insider, for example, Henry Tambiren's site, they were all saying, yeah, you made very valid points. And now, for whatever reason, the casino industry loves to pat itself on the back. They love to say what a great job they're doing, even though the revenues are down,
And
and
people are getting annoyed,
yes,
and customers aren't that happy, and unless they are drunk, of course.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that's the whole thing. So that there's some, there's some,
So there's two
and
reasons.
one of the things that really upset me is that when they said I was disrupted, not only did they email me back, but they emailed my editor.
And
So,
at the place you work for, that you
yes,
do media for?
yes.
Oh, wow.
So that
That could get you sacked.
it possibly could, but
Oh, that's not nice.
well, it is what it is.
Okay, well, I'm not laughing now. That's
Well,
not funny anymore. I'm sitting back here, as you know, listening, thinking that you're a disruptive rebel that's causing all kinds of crazy, but that's not funny now.
it's yeah, it was a little bit enticing. So, and it's a new editor. Thankfully, my stuff is strong enough that a lot of the times they see through this. My work is solid. I support everything I say, and whatever the case may be. So
Are you
there,
allowed to say what company this is that you work for? Are they,
this is
are you
Gamble.
allowed to?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't see why not. This is Gambling Insider, the official trade magazine of the gambling
Wait, hold
industry.
on. Don't they sponsor them?
They do sponsor the event. They
Oh.
sponsor the awards event that they put on every year. And
Holy cow.
interestingly enough, they asked me specifically to write a feature article for this year's G2E.
Oh my
And
gosh.
it's a massive article. It's the center page article. So So apparently their feature writer for this issue is not going to be allowed to go because they
That's
said
huge.
it's for whatever reason, and I asked them why. They said they won't get into details. I asked them for examples. I said they won't get into any details on here, and I said, okay, well, I'll figure it out one way or another. We'll move on to, we'll actually have to depose them now, because if this is indeed the case and they are making things up, which in my opinion and in Nelson Rose's opinion, they believe that I was not asking anything inappropriate. They were tough
Right.
questions, they were hard questions, but that's just
Right. So it's good journalism.
it's tough journalism, and that's what it is. So we'll keep you posted on this, and we'll move on to the
Yeah,
next one.
wow.
But which leaves
Well,
it.
talking of journalism, okay, it was just another subject. I was reading an article this morning. I may have been pinpointed towards it, but let me tell you, I couldn't stop laughing. You know, our resident psychologist, Dr. Alan Schoonmaker, who we've had on the show, that's why, and he's often talked about, so I've got to call him the resident psychologist. There's an article about him which claims
I saw this article.
here I go laughing again. I mean, to Dr. Alan Schoonmaker, who is a very distinguished author, I must add, and an expert in this field.
In
I
psychology,
just
yes.
Well, I thought I knew Dr. Schoonmaker, but according to this article, I don't. This man, apparently, poor Mr. Schoonmaker, his early years, they just sound terrible. He was abandoned.
Well, I think
He was left devastated by his abandonment.
well, let's set the record straight. This article was an article put on by a site called
Well,
gamblingsite.org,
we should
or
have well, we should have told everyone
gamblingsites.org.
who it is.
Well, just
I
so
don't
they
want the cat
well,
traffic.
just when they say, well, let's just say gamblingsites.org.
Don't listen to a word they say.
Well, apparently they just got the wrong biography of someone. Apparently, Dr. Alan Schoonmaker, like you
Has been
said,
playing poker since he was 13.
I don't think that's
That's what
accurate. He
they say that he plays No Limit Texas Hold'em since he was 13.
Ultimate Texas Hold'em, which is a game, and like Caribbean Set, which are table games, and it's just it is so bizarre. So he called me the other night in a panic, wanting to know if I know these guys. I was like,
Did
I
you talk
do.
about
I was like, yeah, I do
it?
know them. I see. He says, you got to check this out. So I check. I says, hey, I know this site, or I knew the people who were running it a couple of years ago.
Right.
So I sent them an email, and copied Alan on it, and he contacted them, and they hopefully they took it down or edited or whatever the case may be. But yeah, he was distraught over this.
Oh, whoops, I shouldn't be laughing then, but I am. And the thing that I'm laughing about the most is his personal life and what this article says about him, which is when Schoonmaker isn't traveling. Now, look, everyone, you need to remember, Dr. Schoonmaker is 82 years of age.
Sharp
And
as
when I
attack,
first.
sharp as attack still.
Right, sharp as a tack. And when I did meet him, he said that he's known for his walking. He walks a lot.
The
And
walker.
he's always out and about, and he's a very physical man, but it says when he isn't traveling, he can often be found horseback riding.
I don't think Alan has ever seen a horse, let
He
alone.
owns, apparently he owns four horses and enjoys the time he gets to spend taking care of them and racing them. And worst of all, talk about your journalism being strong and hard and whatever. I think that's good. I mean, that's better than saying that an 82-year-old, once he retires, no offense, Alan, but 82. I mean, of course, you're writing books and whatever else, but I think you've retired from horseback riding already.
I
He
don't think
plans to buy more horses, more of them.
he's never owned
He's
a horse.
even considering opening a summer horse racing camp for children with special needs.
I don't think Alan has the
Well,
patience or even the willpower to do something of that nature.
he also, Alan is a very frugal man, and they claim that he's going to give away 10% of all of the profits from his book sales to various charities across the world. That part might be true.
No, it's not. I talked to him about that.
Oh.
He doesn't. The only charity he gives to is his family and friends, or family and he buys me Burger King occasionally, but we do use coupons. So,
But well, he brought me a massage once.
Yes, I saw that.
I remember that.
It was by a big black blind man. He didn't know that, to his defense.
Yeah, it was at the massage school. Right, but this gets into an area. We got hard journalism versus soft journalism in the gaming industry. Yeah. And like I said, in the gaming industry, they tend to pat themselves on the back a lot for things that I don't see.
Horse racing nonsense.
Well, not so much the horse racing. Let me put it. A couple years ago, MGM got the award for the best comp system or something like this. I forget what it was. In 2016, I believe, and or 2015, whatever it was, and. I play in casinos, and to get anything out of MGM is like pulling teeth. I mean, they
really?
Oh
wow.
Yeah. So I think it's because what they did is they tied everything into this the new M Life card.
I have multiple M Life cards.
Yes.
Actually.
Well, I think they might have been the first group. I'm not sure about this, but where any purchase you make, you can get points out of, and it goes onto your card. So it's not just for gambling; it's actually for purchasing things too.
So, like, if I buy a $14 bourbon, like I did with Cromwell once, then I'm going to get points for that.
Correct. Yes, then you can return those points, or even if you buy show tickets or anything within the resort, you get credit for it. You get points. So I think they might have been that, but. The comp system itself is just horrendous. I mean, if you were not at least $100 $100 wager player, don't expect to get anything.
Really?
Yes, but again, a lot of comp systems are moving away from it. They're not being lucrative at all anymore because they are in such horrendous financial shape that they squeeze the customer as much as they can. Now, for me. It's because I believe that Las Vegas in particular has no longer catered to the gambler. It caters basically to the conventions. I mean, when you were here, there were conventions all the time, Monday through Thursday.
Absolutely.
And that's what they want. So they squeeze the
and
visitor.
Lots of cowboys.
Oh, the National Rodeo Finals, exactly.
Right.
So,
those kinds of things.
So they squeeze these people for every dime they worth.
I wonder if Dr. Schoonmaker was amongst that tribe of cowboys. Sorry, continue.
I don't think so. But in any event, they nickel and dime these players for as much as they can, and they squeeze them at the table, and then they... I mean, the Venetian, for example, they have a 000 roulette. Or single zero,
right.
Double zero,
I've
and then the triplet.
That. Yes,
so
yes,
that
I've seen
that raises the house edge to almost 7.5-8%. So it's pretty, and then they wonder why they're not bringing in any money because the value based gaming isn't there. They just take as much as they can, as fast as they can from the player, and
well,
they're not
I've
giving
come
the value.
To a different conclusion. I know why they're not bringing in any money in whatsoever. I've worked it out.
Well, they are bringing money in, just not as they were as much as they were in the past.
Right. That is because of a professor. He's called the gambling professor.
Oh, I've seen this guy.
And I'm
going
to call him today because he will help me stop losing in casinos if I play. In fact, he'll help me win.
No, he won't.
Well, I've extensively looked at this. It says partner with the professor. You can take a lesson if you're in Las Vegas. If not, you can have a phone lesson, which is what I'll have to do until I get there. And he says he can help anyone with a bankroll of at least $2,500. And that I will be able to gamble for a living and be a 95% favorite at every table with his proven methods.
It's not a proven method. It's a sham.
Sham.
He should be called the sham professor is what it is. It's not mathematically sound. Listen, this is what
you know what I'm talking about?
I've seen him. This is what this guy does. His system, the gambling professor, if you've seen him, is based on... His system is kind of a what they call a Martingale plus one system. So... So
that makes sense based on his blackjack playing.
So what a Martingale system is you play... The Martingale system is say you bet $5 or 1 unit, And if you lose that one unit, you bet 2 units. If you lose a two, well, if you bet lose 2 units, you bet four to eight,
double, double.
Yeah, you double your bet every single time. Now he does a variation on that called the Martingale plus one. So if he bets $5, he bets 1 unit the first time.
So this isn't roulette, because
this is any game. This is any game. This is any game. Any game. Any game like this that he could do with that has a that has an approximate 50-50, you know, chance of winning, whether you're they win or you win. It's not like roulette where you're betting one out of 30, you know, one out of 36 numbers. It's usually, you know, one pays one, or not in roulette, so where one pays 35.
He multiplies by three. Well, he +1.
Well, he'll go one, three. So if you lose three, you bet 7 units. And if you lose seven, you bet 15. If you lose fifteen, you bet 31.
So that's just an example that he's given. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem with this is,
says that it's impossible to lose 8 times in a row. That's
no, it's not. It is not impossible. It is a rare occurrence, but the time that you, but when you do lose 8 times in a row, you're gonna lose, you know, X
you're
amount.
Fucked right up.
You're gonna be not in good shape. You're gonna lose your entire bankroll. Now, so 1 in 8. So if you lose 10 hands in a row, you can do the math on that. It's one times 2 to the 10th power, or this will be 1 times 2 to the 8th. So we have 2 to the 8th, which is what? So 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 2 is 8. 16. So let's just do this.
Well, let's not get right into the maths of it, because you're doing my head in. Though some people might want to listen to it.
So it would be just 2 to the 8th. So it'll be...
While you work out your maths, I've just got to say, you keep working the maths out. I've got to tell everyone, he has a lot of testimonials, but they don't make sense to me. Because this guy, he says he's a maths expert. And this is, you know, why Dr. Nick's doing the maths on this, so that he can, you know, speak and tell us all about it without working it out slowly. He says he's a maths expert who invented and designed games, and he went one-on-one with the professor, and he made a believer out of him, and his teaching style's amazing, that he thinks his 4-year-old daughter could do it. And I was like, sold!
Right.
The point that I'm getting to is you're telling me no, and, you know, like, I already kind of knew no, and I just wanted to get to the point. It's not just about bad. In the industry, there's bad reporting, obviously, but there's also scams of...
Right, so this is... So basically what...
Scams.
What this is, it's... So 1 times 2 to the 8th. So 1 in every 256 times you're going to go bankrupt.
Right.
So 1 divided by 2 to the 8th. So every 1 in 256 times. So if you do this 256 times, you know, you're going to go. You lose your whole roll on average. So, now think about this. Now think about this for this. Now, if you start this sequence, if you do this sequence, you know, 10 times a day, right? So at least once a month you're gonna go bust on average.
Gotcha.
So I mean,
okay, well that's not a very good, people are going to have to play blackjack as an example, because the example I looked at was blackjack. And I was thinking this looks really easy, and you know, normally if things are too good to be true, they normally are, right?
Right. Now, again, now this guy's system is so notoriously corrupt, or so notoriously bad. He never splits anything, which is
aces.
Yes, you have aces.
Why wouldn't you split aces?
When you have an ace, you have a 46.4% advantage over the house.
So
that's almost a 50% advantage over the house, which means normally if it's a 50-50 and you have a 50% advantage over them, you're winning every 3 out of 4 hands.
He said no double downs.
No double downs. Again, completely wrong. I mean, that is a very valuable option for the player. This is how players make their money. Now there's 3 inherent rules of why card counting becomes valuable, why card counting works, and the whole objective of card counting, which is the lowest form of advantage play, is that you bet more when the low cards have been played, and there are more high cards that remain in the deck. Now, the decks, when there's more high cards in it, the bet that the player has becomes more valuable, because there are three reasons for that. The first is, when there's more high cards like tens and aces that remain in the deck, the player is more likely to get a blackjack. And and the blackjack payout is asymmetrical. By that I mean, when you bet $100 on a blackjack and you get a blackjack, you get 3-2. So you get $150 for that $100. Now, if you lose that bet, if the dealer gets the blackjack, then you only lose your initial $100 bet. So it's asymmetrical. Secondly, when you have when there's a preponderance of high cards that remain in the deck, like a lot of tens, your double downs and your splits become more valuable, because when you double down or split, you usually want a high card to come out, correct?
Right. Yes.
Right. Now, and then the third reason, obviously, is that you can vary your strategy. So if you have a 16 up and the dealer has a 10 showing, you can decide to stay on that and in hopes that the dealer has a low card underneath and a 10 will bust him. But the dealer is bound by the rules of the game to play his hand a specific way. So those are the three reasons. So again, that is completely just wrong. Now, this guy claims to have never had a losing whatever.
Yes, that's what I'm just reading right now. It says, attention sports bettors. The professor has never had a losing urine. It's one word, urine. Sports betting. This guy must be the... I remember reading an article about Jelko Renacek, and this guy has to have more money than him.
Well, I'll tell you what. It's my feeling, and I don't know this for certain, but I believe that word urine, he spells it Y-E-A-R-I-N. So if anybody calls him out on his nonsense, he can get off on a technicality, saying, well, that's not a real word. And
what about the guarantee? He says, take a lesson. If during the lesson my method does not work every time, the lesson is absolutely free.
Well, he's paying. He's playing the odds on that. So for every lesson he gives, you know, 1 in 256 times is he's gonna have to get
so
a free lesson.
Just go, you may, in a month, he can just say you went bust of your own accord. You can't prove I caused that.
Right. Well, maybe, but I'm saying every time he gives a lesson, if he gives 256 lessons, only one time is he going to lose on average, or is he gonna have to give a free lesson? So, if he charges 200,
I'm sorry to anyone who's friends with him. You know, this is like crazy.
Well, I mean, he's trying to. This is a hustle, and this guy puts magnets on his casino or on his car and parks in front of casinos, and it says stop. You know, whatever, with his web address.
That's right. That's how I looked him up, because I got sent a photo of his car.
Right, right. And what I'm saying, in that case is, if these methods really work, I mean, if you're sitting there advertising this, and it works, guarantee the casino won't let you in. I mean, they don't like it when people like me play.
They ban you from everywhere.
They ban me from everywhere. They ban a lot of people who have a proven way of winning. They just don't like it.
Right.
So
it's definitely not him bringing their profits down.
Right. Right. So
entourage of players.
So again, let's just be careful about what you believe. And I mean, go on the message boards, folks. Take a look at it. If you have any questions, you know, email us at the Casino Exploits page, or sign up for a free membership, and we can create, you know, the level one memberships, and these kind of things can be discussed. Because I'm all about getting value.
Right.
And if these guys are doing, you know, things that are ultimately shamming people, then it's not a good thing. Now, anybody who wants to learn about Advantage Gaming, obviously some things are top secret that are only among players, but
these are players too. But I
the best of the best,
like Jelko Renacek.
Like Jelko, yes.
We Australia best gamblers in the world. Just saying.
Punters, aren't they called punters?
Well, the best in the business. definitely is Australian.
Right. So, but anywhere to go, a good place to start is actually where you might get flooded, but any the best place to start where every player starts, every advantage player at the blackjack ball, whoever goes there, their story always starts the same way. I read Ed Thorpe's book, Beat the Dealer In, you
Right,
know,
yeah.
and that's where it goes.
Which I have not.
Well, yes,
I have not read that book,
you can get
really.
it's like 12, 15 bucks on eBay or whatever. Get it. It's a great book. And that's a starting point for
And
everybody.
share knowledge free. You know, in the world of psychics, as you know, I, you know, sell crystals and gems and salt lamps and whatever else, and I have lots of people around me that are in the business of psychics who are not gamblers, sadly, because they could probably win a lot if their psyche was true. Anyway, anyhow, they say if people are really psychics and they really want to be helpful, then they won't be charging you a fortune for it. It's
Right.
kind of like casino exploits, right? You go on there. It's kind of, this is like an advertisement again, but it's true. You go on there, share a wealth of information, free of charge, or at an absolute low minimum cost, not a fortune.
Well, yeah.
Anyhow, forgetting Las Vegas, did you know that South Korea was getting into casino businesses?
They are.
South Korea. It's, you do or you don't? Are you
I did
Chinese?
not know that.
Well, the South Korean Mint is getting into the casino business. They've started printing casino chips.
Okay.
They're using different, you know, methods of technology that we don't have. They've employed the technology to try and prevent fake chips from hitting the market. I didn't know fake chips existed, is what I'm getting to. Another scam or fraud. People out there with fake chips, have you heard of this?
Yes, that's actually it happens quite often, or it did.
Apparently the Wynn Casino uses RFID technology. Palm Gaming, who's a chip manufacturer, has also developed a chip that incorporates an audible signal that sounds when tested during, you know, when it's put in a handheld reader kind of thing. But
Right.
anyhow, apparently it's a big thing, counterfeit chips. So South Korea has jumped on in the market. They think they've got the technology and whatever else, and they're onto this.
Well, it
Flawless.
used to be only the high denomination ships, like
Okay.
500 and up. I know the Bellagio, their $25,000 chips are all serialized and RFID'd, but I don't know if any of their lower than $25,000 chips or denominations are.
Oh, I
But
wonder what
though,
the deal is with Korea doing that.
who
Must
knows?
be,
Maybe they're just trying to.
yeah.
Well, it's obviously expensive, so if they're trying to get into it to reduce the to figure out a way to reduce the cost, then obviously, eventually, their ultimate goal is to reduce the cost to the point where it becomes efficient for the casino to actually use them as a method for guarding against counterfeits. So you never know.
Right.
They might be getting into that.
Sure.
So.
So, nothing is happening in my life. I have
Well,
a cold.
isn't the Melbourne Cup coming on shortly? The
It
world,
is.
the
It really
greatest,
is.
the day in Australia where everything shuts down.
Well, first of all, before the Melbourne Cup, we have the AFL Grand Final. And I must add, again, I keep telling everyone, if you don't know what AFL is, it's Australian Football League. And if you don't have a team, you need to go for the Richmond Tigers. Who? Won the premiership last year and will hopefully win again. They won last night, so
We'll
they're
see.
through to the final four.
Okay, that's
So we have
wonderful.
that. Then we have the Melbourne Cup. Well, these are things that Australians bet on, given they bet on everything.
Right.
Australians bet on like everything, not all Australians, but bet. You know, who's going to be
Right.
the best player of the year? Who's going to kick the first goal? You know, who's going to win the Melbourne Cup? Then there's the Caulfield Cup. So yes, we have the Melbourne Cup coming up, but we have a lot of other sporting events. We have what's called the Spring Racing Carnival, and during that we have like the Caulfield Cup, the Melbourne Cup, the Oaks, the Ladies' Day, all these. Look, there's heaps of things, heaps of horse racing activities, events, whatever. But I believe that you are going to miss the Melbourne Cup.
Yes, I'm going to be in China and Australia in
Yes, you leave
October,
China.
November, but I
You leave
actually,
China when the Melbourne Cup is
yes,
on.
I leave the China. I leave China when the Melbourne Cup the day of, and I get into the Australia a day later. So,
Well, everyone's going to be hungover, just so you know.
which means the
It's the
traffic should
race
be
that stops a
light.
nation. That's a good point. That is a very good point. But I am considering going to the Melbourne Cup, and I know that a good friend of mine, I know Gary Benson goes there, and last year he hung out with Usain Bolt. I can't pronounce his name.
The fastest man in the world.
Right. Now, I saw photos of him doing that. So maybe I can convince Gary to let me go into the caged area with him, or maybe Shane Warne, or so, you know, one of Australia's cage people.
Right.
And
cage.
And
people.
I can have fun, and I can get drunk too, and then I can meet you maybe at the airport.
Yes.
Over, and you can drive.
I don't know. I don't want to drive on the wrong side of the road.
No, it's the right side.
Yes. So, in any event, that should do it for this truncated episode. I think we covered quite a bit of stuff, and
really,
yes, we really don't. We'll do a show next week, and I think next week we're going to have Jean Scott on, who is also known as the Frugal Gambler. She is the woman who knows everything about comp systems, and we will discuss a little bit with her the revamping of the Boyd Gaming. Board Gaming's comp system, which they recently redid. So,
well, we were talking about comp systems earlier. So
yes.
That follows. Show
yes.
To show. That
so,
works.
Anything?
But we didn't talk about poker.
Well, there's nothing really going on in poker right now, is there?
Well, there's lots always going on in poker. I don't know. Maybe we could talk some poker strategy before we go, or maybe no one wants to hear it.
Well, what do you have to say about poker?
It's a very tough game. There was a question that came up the other day. I'd like to mention that just before I go. But it's like anything else in the gaming, gambling, casino industry. Someone asked, in fact, it was Raymond Davis from Real Grinders, asked, you know, people making a living out of poker and, you know, do they actually do it or can they do it, you know, if they had no other means of income, specifically very difficult. Playing only No Limit Texas Hold'em, and especially hard with children, you know, with a family,
right,
to support, because that puts a whole ton of pressure on. And there were so many mixed answers. I mean, most people agreed with him. You know, most people aren't going to be leaving their day job and just suddenly professionally gambling and playing only poker. A lot agreed that you can do it. You know, you can cash out a few hundred or a hundred. You know, make a general average wage each day playing poker, but you know, you kind of got to stick to the mixed games. And I don't know, of course I argue, lots of people argue, but I argue because, you know, as you know, I play poker for lots and lots and lots of years online, but I can't do that now, and I had kids and I was on my own, so
right.
It's a tough gig,
but doable if you put the time in studying.
Right.
Some guys I know spend more time studying than they do actually playing.
Well, then they're smart guys.
Right.
And it's not just studying, it's hand reviews, hand history reviews, etc. I'm talking, of course, from an online perspective.
Right.
I'm not talking from a live perspective. It's a little hard to, you know, maybe review every hand live. But online poker, I was sitting there reviewing hand histories and studying more than playing, probably. Yes.
Yeah, it's a very intense way. And sometimes you can just run bad for a long time.
Yeah, so it's not very nice when that happens, especially when you've got children to feed.
Exactly, exactly.
So he does have a point. Tough gig, hard to do, more pressure when you're, well, almost impossible when you have a family.
Right.
Especially live poker. You know, obviously someone like myself would not go out. You could. You could go out and play poker every night.
Yes.
I could not. I could clearly not. So anyway, something to think about. There's a poker strategy.
Or a poker question, I think.
Well, a statement. Do not give up your day job.
Right.
You know, without thinking and knowing and having some self statistics as.
Yes, records, records, records. That's the key to everything.
Right.
Keep records, folks. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except for the tax office.
Yes.
Keep them for them.
Okay, Miss Adams, the hot Aussie chick. Until next.
I'm almost Miss Adams. Last thing.
Yes.
Almost Miss Adams.
Almost. Almost.
I'm almost divorced. I'm almost divorced.
That's not really something you should brag about.
I'm going to have a divorce party. I've seen them in Las Vegas. I headed their divorce party. Woohoo! Okay.
All right. Bye. We will see you next week.
We will. See ya.
Aces and faces, everybody.